have a special guest, and we haven't heard from this guy around here in quite a while. Don Kessinger, his baseball jersey, good old number 11, was recently retired at Ole Miss, where he was one of the greats and legendary down there, and he joins us right now. Good morning, Don.
Good morning. How are you people in Chicago today?
Well, it's great to hear your voice. And how do you feel about your old school retiring your uniform number?
You know, that was a real thrill. It was a great night. Family enjoyed it. And you kind of over. I've only retired one other baseball jersey in history here, and that was Jake Gibbs, who played super here and then played with the Yankees some. It was quite a night. I was overwhelmed and very, very thankful. Appreciate you asking.
And you were the head coach for a while at the University of Mississippi baseball team, weren't you?
I was for early 90s for several years.
And, Don, have you stopped thinking about how close the Cubs came in 69? Or does that still go on?
No. Oh, my goodness, yeah. In fact, you were playing that Cubs are on their way while I was waiting for you to get on the air. And I'm thinking, oh, me, that's good news and bad news. No, I do. Oh, yeah, I think about it all the time. I always will think about it.
Well, I've said this many times. After the Cubs won the World Series, people said, well, that's it. Nobody's going to be talking about the 69 team anymore. But you will always be loved around here because you guys really became part of the community here, didn't you?
Well, we think we did. We hope we did. You know, and we had some good guys. I mean, not only good players, but some really good guys that loved playing for the Cubs, loved the Cub fans, and so, yeah, I think we did kind of become part of that community. I know this, as an old Southern boy up there, that town adopted me, and it was just great. I enjoyed every minute of it.
Well, your entire infield that year made the All-Star team, four future Hall of Famers. not a bad group of guys.
Oh, no, a great group of guys, and you're right. One of the real thrills of mine was, you know, with that All-Star game in 1969, I think in Washington, D.C., you're right. Our entire Cub infield was there, and I don't recall any other team having done that. Might have, but we were thrilled with the chance to do that.
Don, give me your favorite memory, your favorite recollection of Ron Santo, if you would.
Oh, yeah, Ron Santo, he's just Ron Santo, but he played every day, and he played hard every day, and he really, really, just like the rest of us in the sense that just wanted to win. We wanted to win for that city, for our fans, and kind of heartbroken, and I remember in 69 who went into New York and we didn't play as well as we should have early in that series, and lost a couple of games and fell out of first place, and I believe, and it hurt Ronnie just as much or more than the rest of us. And he said a couple of things about us dropping balls and doing things that, you know, kind of got him in hot water, and yet that wasn't him at all. I mean, that's not him. He was an encourager. But
weren't you in the batter's box, Don? You were in the batter's box when that black cat came on the field?
No. Ron was in the – yeah, I think Ron was in the on-deck circle. And Ronnie was a little bit – maybe a little more superstitious than some of the rest of us. And boy, you could have just seen his face when that – you know, I tell you about that black cat. I have some respect for the fact that I don't have a clue how some fan got that black cat into the stadium and down there field side. You know, you got to applaud someone's ingenuity, and I have no idea, because that crowd went nuts.
Yeah. Uh-huh. In Shea Stadium. By the way, Don Kessinger started for the NL in five All-Star games. And you talk about that team and Santo, and you played alongside Glenn Beckert for 9 years. His death must have really hit you hard, Don.
Oh, it did. It did. And Beck and I, probably more than any other player I was with, we talked even up to the last. You know, we talked on the phone a lot, and I knew Bick was not doing well, but, you know, you just don't ever get ready for the inevitable. And he was a great guy to play with, and he worked really hard. And he and I used to go out early before games a lot, and especially when Alvin Dark was a coach for the Cubs early in our career. He used to take Beckert and me out, who, of course, Alvin was a shortstop, but he used to take Beck and me out when we were both rookies before anybody else came on the field so we could work on some things without batting practice and everything, you know, interfering. And I guess I'll always appreciate him and appreciate Glenn Beckert being ready, able to do that. So,
He was a fun guy. Yep. Talking to one of the all-time favorite Cubs, Don Kessinger, spent a little time with the Cards and then ended up with the White Sox. Dave, I'll let you take it from here. Well, refresh our memory on the history.
All right. So, Don, you were in St. Louis, and that, I'm sure, had to be kind of a jolt for someone who had spent his entire career playing on the north side of Chicago. What was that transition like for you? And then you ended up with the White Sox in 77 when they had the South Side Hitmen, which was kind of a fun year. But take us back to St. Louis.
Well, when I grew up in Arkansas, St. Louis was Cardinals were probably my favorite team at that point because they were about the only ones back in the day that we could listen on the radio, could get their radio broadcast all the time. And so, you know, it wasn't that I wanted to leave Chicago and go to St. Louis, but if I had to go somewhere, I said, you know, that's all right. And and really it was. We had some great players on that team. We just didn't play very well my first year there. You know, we had Lou Brock and Ted Simmons and Reggie Smith. I mean, they had some good players. And but we really didn't have a real good year. And so it was kind of a long year. And certainly by Cardinal standards at that time, you know, they expect to contend every year. And we didn't do that year. So, you know, and then they traded me to the White Sox. And when I came back to Chicago, I thought, oh, my goodness, this is great. I love Chicago, but Cubs and White Sox aren't the best friends. And I didn't know exactly how that was going to work out. But I would tell you, honest truth, I've never been treated better than by the White Sox fans. It was a great deal.
Well, 1979, you're the player manager of the White Sox. And I believe the last player manager in the American League, I think the only one who's done that since you was Pete Rose with the Reds in the 80s. But how were you able to manage both playing and managing the team?
Not very well, I'm afraid. there were things there were things that would come up you don't think about. And I would think, why didn't I ask that question? it's a little different. Like if I'm in the box and I'm hitting, and you know, I want a hit and run, or I want the guy to steal, or I want this or a bunt or something. You know, I had to figure out how to give the third base coach a sign, tell him what I think we need to do here, and then he had to relay it. And so it was. It was interesting. We had a few things we had to come up with. But Bobby Winkles was coaching third, and what a super guy and a great baseball man. So we helped with some of that. I do remember in spring training, I'll tell a real quick deal here, when I was the player manager and I was hitting one time, and I think it was Richie Hebner that was playing third base, and Winkles came in between innings, I mean, was laughing after the game, and Hebner asked me, Who gives the signs, you or me? And Bobby told him, he said, oh, I do. And Hebner said, I've been watching you. You're not doing anything. And he said, well, I'm giving the signs. And in spring training, he said, okay, here, you better get ready. We're going to hit and run right here or something. Hebner said, you ain't done anything. So we had to, you know, it was really an interesting deal. We had a good time with it, and I started into the pitcher one day early on in my career, and Because he was having a little trouble, and I started to the mound, and the umpire stopped me about halfway, and he said, "Okay, Don, are you going in there as a manager or as a player?" And I said, "Well, why don't you just come with me, and you can make that decision?" So, you know, there were some interesting points.
Sounds like it. Don, you were replaced on the south side by Tony La Russa. What do you think about him managing today?
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to tell you, I saw Tony at a card show, or not a card show, a book signing deal a few years ago. I stopped by to say hello to him, and I told him if I'd been a better manager, he wouldn't be in the Hall of Fame.
You know. He owes it all to you.
Oh, yeah. Tony's a great guy. And when I was named player manager, we talked to Tony about being on my staff at that time, and he agreed. But before we got very far down the road, he decided that he called me and said, I have a chance to manage a AAA club. And I said, well, you need to do that because, you know. And anyway, he did, and the rest is history, as they say. I think Tony's a smart, good guy, and really an outstanding manager.
And I can't let you go without asking if you have any memories of Disco Demolition Night at the old Comiskey Park.
Yeah, well, we should have gone before you asked me. Disco Demolition Night will forever live in my memory. And, it was truly a promotion that was quote unquote too successful.
Yeah,
because
for sure.
the ballpark was full, you know, early before we really even started much pregame stuff, but it was such an atmosphere and aroma, I might add, that you just knew something wasn't going to go right. But the umpires, you know, they had all those thousands of people out on the field, and the umpires, delayed the game and all that. So I took our team into the locker room and locked the door, and they called me from upstairs and said, the umpires would like to meet with you and Bill Veeck. And I said, well, where is Bill? And they said, he's out on the field. I love Bill Veeck. And so I said, okay. So I ran out there on the field, and, man, it was wild. And Bill was standing about second base with a microphone in his hand saying, would you please return to your seats, would you? And it was just a wild night. But anyway, one of those memories you'll never forget. And So Bill and I did meet with them. They told us we weren't going to play the second game, but we would not have to forfeit. Well, that was till the next day when Bill got the telegram that said we had to forfeit.
Forfeited the game. Yeah. Wow. Don, you could have managed for decades, but you're the world's nicest guy. I don't see you ever getting mad and yelling and cursing, unless you would curse like Randy Hundley and do an aw shucks to the umpire.
Yeah, I didn't do the cursing part, but I did get mad on occasion, maybe at myself more than anybody else. But, it was an experience. And I do really see, looking back, why we haven't had many player managers, because it's just too many really good guys to manage without trying. And I was a little bit of my personality was that it was very difficult for me to put me in the starting lineup sometimes, because, you know, I would never want anybody to think I was putting me in just because I had the right to do that. So my coaches kept saying to me, you need to play more, you need to play more, and it was just a hard thing for me to do.
Don, you're the best, and for you, we get the news on late, and John Williams comes on late because we don't get to hear from you as much as we should. All the best, continued good health to you. It's so great to hear you. Thanks for the time this morning, and congratulations on the honor at Ole Miss.
Look, I love all y'all in the city and everything, so thanks for giving me the chance to talk to you.